We about to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it up, up. Bring the house down. Got that bass space pumping. Make them bounce now. Blousing like they bossing. And the freaks are coming out now.
AEW Unrestricted. It's Aubrey Edwards. It's Will Washington.
Heck yes.
And we've got a big, big week that we're a part of right now.
Yes.
And, you know, this is AEW Unrestricted, but of course we cover the entire umbrella, and that includes Ring of Honor and Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor. It's coming up this Friday.
Yes.
Watch ROH.com. And this card is just shaping up to be something amazing. We've got great matches all across the board. And, you know, we've been talking about this Ring of Honor Women's World Championship match with Athena, your forever Women's World Champion, the greatest
forever
ROH Women's World Champion of all time, facing arguably the greatest AEW Women's World Champion of all time.
Yep.
In Hikaru Shida, the longest reigning AEW Women's World Champion of all time. And for these two to come together the way that they are, that match just feels like something. Like, I think about All Out last year, and when they both there was that six-woman tag that was on the pre-show.
Yep,
and
Zero
when
Hour.
They both, yep, on the Zero Hour, and when they both got tagged in, and the crowd is going nuts just seeing these two. And the
Will's
possibility
just sitting there making a note in his creative book, like, yes, we will need to revisit this.
Yes, and it's great, and it was and like knowing that we're getting to do this match now at Super Card of Honor feels like a big deal. But then also, we've got Mark Briscoe versus Eddie Kingston for the ROH World Championship. And this feels like a match that has needed to happen for a very long time. Mark Briscoe was supposed to compete for the championship before, but due to injury was not able to. And now that he's back, this is his opportunity to claim the ROH World Championship on a very, very significant anniversary, because it was, I believe, 11 years ago that Jay Briscoe won the ROH World Championship. So he has an incredible opportunity to do the same. We also have, for the ROH World Television Championship, Lee Johnson is challenging Kyle Fletcher.
This is going to be good.
This is going to be very good. I think that Lee Johnson has been on quite a roll in Ring of Honor. Pretty much the last match he lost was to Christopher Daniels. And pretty much since then, he has just been on this incredible run of wins. He has earned himself an opportunity to face Kyle Fletcher. And this is an exciting opportunity to see if Lee Johnson can step up. But like, Kyle Fletcher is no slouch, right? Kyle Fletcher is, I think, one of the best guys we have in the ring, period.
Kyle Fletcher is a banger factory. Like,
he is.
He's so good. Like, this whole show is stacked. And one of the things I love about Ring of Honor is just seeing, like, just to put my own boys over for a second, like, the ref team has been killing it. Like, I am very happy that I get to sit at my couch at home and enjoy this as a fan, because I get to see all of my wonderful boys that normally work Ring of Honor, plus Paul Turner, Ring of Honor veteran at this point, legend in my mind. They're all going to be killing it in Philly, and I could not be more proud of everybody. Like, it's one of the things that we are great at, both AEW and Ring of Honor, is that when you know there is a pay-per-view, you know you are in for a good time. Like, it is well worth the money. It's going to be awesome. Watch ROH.com. Like, you will not be disappointed.
I agree. And, you know, it's funny that I just brought up the ROH World Television Championship and, you know, the incredible match that we've got coming up there. But on the other side of that, we're introducing another World Television Championship. And we talked last week to one of the participants who has made it to the finals of that very match coming up. We talked to Queen Aminata last week, and she's going to be one of the participants in the ROH Women's World Television title match at Supercard of Honor. But our guest on this show here is the other participant in this match. Who do we have today, Aubrey?
Today on Unrestricted, we are joined by, I feel like I say this all the time, like, one of my favorite people, but like, legitimately, like, Billie Starks is one of my favorite people, because not only is she incredible, but she has had this like monumental rise in such a short time. And then considering I'm like twice the age of her almost, I'm like, the sky is the limit. So I am so happy you're here with us today, Billie. Thank you so much for joining us today on Unrestricted.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So you first made your AEW debut, I think, on Dark. It was shortly after you turned 18 in a match with Red Velvet.
Yeah, it was like the week after I turned 18.
So how did that all come together?
So I reached out to Sean Dean when I was like 17, just on an email, because I was like, screw it. Let's see what happens, because they run in Indiana sometimes, and Indiana is lawless. but Sean sent me an email back being like, I already know who you are. Just hit me up when you turn 18, blah, blah, blah. Like, we'll definitely stay in contact with you. And then I turned 18 and I said, Sean, I'm here. When's the next show you can get me on? And he was like, oh, Wednesday, you free? I was like, of course, I'll be there.
Right attitude.
Yeah, no, and that's great. And like, you know, at that time, you had already generated so much buzz, more buzz than most people at your age.
I just came back from like Japan, and then I was like still doing school and stuff. And it was crazy because like I flew down to Dark and I was still filming like the Life of documentary thing. So I was getting a lot of like clips of my first experience of doing a lot of TV in like a different world to me. And then also going and traveling to Japan for the first time was crazy. And then me and Sky Blue in the hotel room just being misfits before we had to go to the airport.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because despite the fact that as far as to the TV audience, to the AEW audience and the Ring of Honor audience, you're fairly newer. You've, again, been doing this a very long time. And you've come up and known a lot of these people forever. It feels like every time I'm around you, everybody in the locker room is almost, they almost view you as, I don't want to say like daughter, but almost like the little niece, right? Like everybody's always looking out for you.
I joke that I'm like the little sister of pro wrestling somehow. Yeah. And I don't know how I ended up in this role.
No, it's great though. It's great to see that kind of everybody looks out for you in a way and is almost rooting for you in a way where, again, like I said, you've been doing this a very, very long time and yet you're still just scratching the surface. And that, I think people listening to this will gather that youth is going to be a big topic of this podcast because it is something that is very unique to exactly who you are. We're sitting here with Billy Starks, who, by the way, 19 years old. You're still in the early stages of your career despite what you've already accomplished.
I completely agree with you.
It's wild because it's like you have to have that ability to hustle when you're in wrestling, I think, to be successful, whether like however many years you were on the indies versus how many years you weren't, like even when you get to TV, there's that element of hustling. And then to hear things like Billy had a 4.0 GPA and then she's at TV and she's like, oh yeah, I got prom this weekend. And I'm like, not only is she like hustling at being a professional wrestler on television, but she's hustling at living like her best life, finishing out high school. And then now you're also in college and you're studying.
Yeah.
And you just like, you don't stop. And I love it. But as like an older sister, like I'd say much other people in the locker room kind of see it as like, please don't burn out. Like, you're wonderful. Stop.
I feel like I'm doing so much less than I was like doing in high school. And everybody jokes like, no, you're doing great. Just chill out. You've done so much. Like, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a good job. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm itching for just a little bit more. Maybe I need to do like 200 matches a year. That's what my goal is. And they're like, not with college. That's a terrible idea.
No, you gotta have that solid backup plan. I think like both, like I see Will as the father, like his eyes are just like, yes, no. Do the college. Do the college.
So it's okay that it feels like a little bit less because at this point in your life, like the thing is like high school is so kind of generalized and it's like you got to take in a little bit of everything, whereas like this college time period is a little more focused.
Yeah,
and that's okay. You know what I want to talk about though? I want to talk about Battle of the Belts 6.
Okay. Yes,
because Battle of the Belts 6, you challenged Jade Cargill for the TBS championship. First off, when did you find out about this match?
I think I found out like a week or two before. Like, it was very last minute. And I did, I think, like 9 matches before that match. Like, it was a lot of matches before that. And then before I got to the venue, it was my first time ever getting on an Amtrak or a train. And I got off at my first stop like I was supposed to, got on the next train, fell asleep on that train and missed my stop. And then was lost on the train trying to get back to where I needed to be for Battle of the Belts. And then I got there and was like, okay, I guess I had to wrestle this monster now.
Yeah, it was really great having Billy walk in. It's like, wait, weren't you just like doing 12 matches yesterday or something? And now you're on a train and you're here. And
I've made it.
That hustling attitude that we talked about, it's just become a regular thing that we're used to. But I loved that day because it was, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, but it was a great example of being thrown into the fire. Like, it's Battle of the Belts. It's this huge match. You've got Jade Cargill, title match, all this stuff. And at one point we're talking about stuff and you just go, how do commercials work? I go, okay, so here's kind of what's going to happen. And then here's the information that I tell you. And blah, I'm like, oh my God, like you're competing for a title on TV and you've never had to deal with a commercial, which for the people listening, maybe you just like, it's one of those like behind the scenes things, but when you've never wrestled with the idea of commercials, it suddenly changes kind of how everything is mapped out. And now you're worried like, okay, where does heat start? Where does this happen? Like, oh, there's cameras. Like it kind of changes how you approach matches.
Was that the first time you had been handed times and there were three of them?
So it came as one, but then they were like, hybrid, but there's so it was breaks. Even
worse. Oh.
We had the hybrid. And I was like, there's breaks. I don't understand what you mean. I just go in a match. I don't understand what you mean. Stop.
Oh, sweet summer child.
Because like, I can just imagine being told for the first time. And I hear this all the time from people of, you know, they've wrestled, they're, you know, oh, you're allotted 10 minutes, whatever. But when, you know, of course, you're working in the world of TV, they hand it to you in the form of, and let me see, that match went, what, 8.5? So
yeah, I think it was like a 3-2-2.
Yeah. And so
it's like a 3-2-30 and 2-30, but the 2-30 was actually a hybrid. So we had one of the full black and it was live. So yeah, it's really thrown into the fire.
Wow. I hadn't even considered that was the first time. Your title match with Jade was the first time you had worked a television and a live TV match at that, right? Was mm-hmm. that show live?
I think it was live.
Yeah, it was. Because that was the one that aired right after the Rampage. But yeah, so again, just the thrown to the fire. Again, were you nervous? What was the feeling like for you that entire day?
I honestly was just excited. I'm one of those people, like, I just get locked in and I'm ready for a match. And I feel like the weekend, like, building up to it, I was very excited just because I had so much momentum building up to it. And I don't know, I never, like, first time opponents to me, and that was the first time I ever got to share the ring with Jade. It's always special to me because it's like, oh, you get to have a first time match, and it was a big time match feel off the start. So I knew it was going to be fun.
So how shortly after that match did it become official that you joined AEW?
I don't know. It never really got announced. And then everybody was like, oh, she's just part of this now. This is awesome. And I was like, cool. Everybody, I think, just caught on. But I officially joined, I think, August. Yes, August. My brain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was like months before. Wacky. Yeah, that was a while before. So you were kind of already, we were just kind of sitting on it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was kind of weird. I was just like, I'll keep doing my thing and see what happens.
Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We've got so much to go because there's a lot more Ring of Honor and so much of your career to talk about. And we're going to be doing it right here when AEW Unrestricted continues. AEW Unrestricted, it's Aubrey and Will, and we're talking with the one and only Billy Starks. And we're talking about her start here in AEW and start with Ring of Honor. But I want to ask you about the Owen Hart Foundation tournament last year. Because in that tournament, you got to take on somebody that you eventually became very, very familiar with and has almost become a big part of your career. But it was your first time getting to kind of tangle it up with Athena.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to start with, was that the first time you guys had worked together?
Yeah, that was the first time we ever got to like face off in the ring. We talked backstage maybe once or twice before this, but that was the first time we ever like truly fought each other. And I learned from the start that she was very, very hard hitting. You can watch the match back, but there's one point where you see me grab the ref to protect me, and it was because she kicked me so hard in the ribs that I couldn't breathe at all. Yeah.
And of course, again, I brought all that up to talk about the fact that this led to one of the biggest stories to take place in Ring of Honor last year, which yes. was you and Athena. Very big story that went into Death Before Dishonor last year. and was that Death Before Dishonor? Final Battle. Sorry.
Yes.
Went in a final battle.
Something wrong? What? I
corrected it in my own brain because I was like, no.
That's fair.
It was like Death Before Dishonor was Willow. And then.
We'll check the tape. Okay. He was correct. Continue.
Yes. No, but it led into Final Battle last year, which that was in Garland, Texas. That much I do remember. Huge night for you. But again, that had one of the most tremendous builds we had had in Ring of Honor up until that point. I want to talk about how some of that came together with you and Lexi Nair. You know, we had Lexi Nair on the show. She's talked about that being some of the most fun she's had in everything she's done in her 5 years with AEW. But you kind of got introduced into all of that. What was, first off, how did that idea even come together? How was that presented to you?
It was honestly just jokes. Like, we just kept making jokes and things just evolved more and more. And it started with me and Athena just texting back and forth. And then it became me, Lexi, and Athena made a group chat just talking about, like, oh, we should make t-shirts. We need to do this. And we just committed fully into it. And then in 2024, we want to make it even crazier and bigger. I have a crazy surprise for the collision that's taking place in Canada.
Oh my God.
Where Aubrey's already at. I think it's going to be a fun surprise for the locker room and the fans that are going to be there at the show. And I hope to do more stuff like this.
I'm so stoked. That's my favorite part of wrestling is like when other wrestlers are trying to like make it fun for other people on the show, like, because that's what's fun about it, right? Like, it's the surprises and it's the you don't know where things are going to go. Like,
yeah,
my whole favorite part of this storyline was one of like the culmination moments of the Minion graduation, where literally everyone is like, Billy is the valedictorian, and then they name Lexi, and everyone immediately, like, I know I did, so I'm speaking for everyone here. Everyone looks at your face, and you're just like.
I was just a little shocked.
Right. Just a smidge. But yeah, like, how do you not like lose yourself in that moment and just start laughing?
I feel like Ring of Honor has put me in the position where I get to be the biggest goofball, but at the same time, it is so hard not to laugh sometimes at like the little bits we get to do, because it's truly like us just having fun together. Like, we just click as people, and we're friends in and outside of wrestling. So when we get to work together, work is fun.
Well, the good news is I actually cannot wait to see what this ends up being. Like, obviously, I work in creative. I know the segment, but I don't actually know.
You're pretending like you don't know.
No, I don't know nothing. All I know is the segment. I don't know exactly what you're going to do in it.
I have so much shenanigans planned.
Oh my God. I'm so stoked.
No, I'm excited. And the cool thing is, with this show dropping on a Thursday, everybody's going to be seeing this for the first time literally today. Definitely check that out on Honor Club.
Tonight.
And speaking of Honor Club, this Friday on Honor Club, you are going to be challenging. It's not even the challenge, because at this point, there has not been a champion yet.
First ever.
First ever.
First ever.
Ring of Honor World Television Championship. The tournament has led down to you and our previous guest here on the show, Queen Aminata. And you made it through Diamante. You defeated Mercedes Martinez. So I want to talk to you about the significance of this championship. I mean, you were just in the world title match in the main event, Final Battle. And I was in the room when the roster was told about the new championship and you guys were all presented with the new championship. Tell me a little bit about what this means to be a part of the inaugural match for the television championship.
Honestly, it just made my eyes light up because I had a goal to strive for. I knew there was no chance of me taking the title off Athena. She is the forever champion. She is never losing that title. No one has ever taken that title. So I had a new shiny belt to chase after. And that officially came my title as soon as I saw it. TK, hand it over now.
Wow. I love this attitude.
I've said it since the beginning of this tournament. It is my title. I want this belt more than anything. I did so much work for Final Battle because I wanted that championship to prove myself. This is my chance to prove myself to everybody. And in Philly, I don't care if Queen thinks she's number one. I'm walking out the champion.
It's one of those things where, like, I'll be happy if either person wins because I feel like there is just so much. Like, we're literally watching the future of women's wrestling with you and Queen in this match. And it's really exciting being a woman in wrestling to see what, like, the both of you have done and what you have done in such a short amount of time as well. And knowing, like, how much more runway you have in all of this. Like Athena's forever champ, but, like, you could be forever champ. Like, there may not be a second women's television champion.
First,
like,
ever and forever.
First and last. There you go. Oh, man. So, I mean, obviously, like, main eventing a pay-per-view, potentially being first ever champion of something, but you've done a lot of other great things in your 5 years of wrestling. Like, you've won titles all over the world. You've wrestled in, I think it's 29 states, four countries, had over 400 matches. Is there anything that you're like, this was super important to me, and this was like a major turning point or something that just like really spoke to you or like made Billy Starks who she is today? Like, what from your short history so far is really like kept in your mind?
I feel like there was a lot of pivotal moments for me in wrestling. Definitely my first tour of Japan and getting to experience that. That was a whole new scene for me. And I, like, from like the beginning of starting wrestling, I always aspired to Joshi's wrestling. I always respected the craft because I think they're phenomenal and one of the best women's wrestlers, period. So when I finally got to have the experience to go over there and compete with these wrestlers and make relationships and knowing I took 3 years of Japanese before I got to go, it was great. But then when I got over to the UK, I think that was a great experience. I made so many friends and it was just so much fun. I feel like I reconnected with wrestling because, like, after COVID, it was very hard. I feel like wrestling was not the same. And then, like, being able to start traveling and be around, like, nice and bigger crowds again, it was so much fun.
God, I didn't even think about the COVID thing. Like, you've only been working for 5 years, and there was a pandemic for, like, half of that. Oh, my God.
And I did so many tape shows during the pandemic. It was crazy. And I had a wrestling ring in my garage, so I was literally just training every day because I was bored out of my mind because there was nothing. I was doing, like, my work on my computer because, like, you don't have no school. So I'm doing this in my wrestling ring and then just rolling around and going and get lunch.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of what you were able to get exposed to the world really occurred during the pandemic. It felt like a lot of people were really getting to know Billy Starks in those shows. And, you know, we always talk about, it's a conversation we have a lot in AEW about how those pandemic days really leveled the playing field, because when you're dealing with kind of no crowds, everybody is as over as each other, right? And so that kind of gives everybody the opportunity to perform in a way where you didn't have that before, where you have guys who
you're
had all this.
You're just performing.
You're just performing, right? So how much of that do you feel helped you discover who you were as a performer?
I feel like it definitely made me hone in on a lot of, like, different things that I didn't focus on before, especially when it came to, like, camera work and, like, just moving a certain way. And, like, there was so many possibilities because of the pandemic that you got to experiment so much more. So I feel like I found my identity of, like, oh, what I want to present with, like, promos, or, like, oh, this is a match I have coming up. This is the build I kind of want to do for it, even though it is indies. Like, oh, I have, like, 2 or 3 weeks to build kind of a story with this girl that I know.
Right. I think even when you say, like, even if it's indies, that's, I think, part of the reason why you're where you are at this point is because you treat it so seriously. You approach it from a perspective of, yeah, sure, this is an indie match, but I'm going to make sure that there's a storyline build. I'm going to make sure that the fans at this show in attendance know that this match matters and why it matters. So I think that's really important, and people should, like, you know, walk away with that knowledge. It's really great. So you had mentioned very briefly that Indiana is kind of lawless. And then I think about like, okay, well, you're 19 now. So you started wrestling when you were 13.
Yes.
Is it difficult to find a wrestling school that's willing to take a 13-year-old?
It was not very hard for me, and I was kind of shocked.
Yep. Indiana. All right.
I didn't start wrestling until I was probably like 16. Like, I knew a lot of wrestlers who started around that age. And they like had told me places because I did photography before I got into pro wrestling. And then I like was doing photography at an all women show. And I asked the dude, like, ah, you train so and so. Would you train me? And he was like, oh, I know a guy who would train you. And I was like, oh, cool. Introduce me. And then they were like, yeah, we'll train you at 13. And I was like, Mom, can I do it? And I was signed up the next day, and I came after cheerleading practice.
That is amazing. And your parents were pretty supportive pretty much from the start?
Yeah. So my mom was the one who took me, and I did my first class, and it was literally like you learned how to roll and like fall down. And I was a cheerleader, so I already knew how to roll. Like, that was easy for me. And, like, even falling down, I was just excited. So the whole time I'm falling down, I'm just smiling, throwing myself. And my mom's like, oh, she's having so much fun. And then my dad got there, and he was like, oh, you're not getting her out of the ring. You're stuck. Put your down payment down now.
How was that? Like, essentially, you talk about 13. And so the very next year, you start high school. And your entire high school run then, you're essentially a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
And
how?
How do you manage that? What is school life like at that point?
So technically when I started training, I was in the seventh grade, and then I did eighth grade. And eighth grade was when I started to like travel and like try to go to places. And I mainly stayed in the Midwest unless it was like summertime. And then I would be like, oh, let's get crazy. Who's going to book me? I'll drive anywhere. I just wanted to knock out all the states. That was always like a thing in my brain of like, oh, by the time I'm 21, I can hit all the states. That's like my internal goal. I don't know if I will hit it. We will see. I feel like I have the chance to.
Gotta get that Hawaii booking.
I know. And Alaska. Those are the two I'm shooting for.
Those are gonna be tricky.
But it was just kind of came easy to me. Like, school was always easy to me. I was a straight A student. And I would be involved in a bunch of after school stuff. And I did cheerleading and cross country and stuff all to like prepare for wrestling. Cause in my brain, I was like, oh, I have good cardio. I already know how to do flips and crap. I'll figure it out. So when I started wrestling, I feel like I already had my game plan set. So it just was funny how everything kind of just fell into place.
Everything eventually leads to wrestling.
Yeah.
Love it.
You just have to be a nice person and have fun.
Oh my God. Like, it's so simple. Like, just be a nice person and have fun. The amount of times that I wish I could just tell that to people. This is so great. Oh my God. We're having a fantastic conversation with Billy Starks, who will be competing this weekend at Supercard of Honor against Queen Aminata for the first ever Ring of Honor World Television Championship. We've got more to talk about coming up here on AEW Unrestricted. It's Aubrey, it's Will, it's Billy Starks. We're here on AEW Unrestricted. We're talking AEW, we're talking ROH, we're talking high school, we're talking all kinds of stuff because Billy Starks has just had just an incredible journey so far. And I'm just so thrilled to see, like, to see the short amount she's been with us and how incredible it's been, and just knowing how much more incredible it's going to be and the potential that you have and just the drive. Like, you've got it. It's just a matter of now we just need time to happen so that we can all enjoy it. So I'm super stoked. So you've mentioned a couple times you've been to Japan. You really love the Joshi style of wrestling. You've worked with Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. How does an opportunity to come to Japan come up? Like, can you tell that story?
Honestly, I thought my invitation was fake.
Do you think you were getting scammed?
I was getting scammed. I was like, oh, this is like a junk email. Somebody's trying to play with me right now. I'm going to get annoyed. But I was like clearing out my emails, and it says like, oh, from Shota, would you like to come to Japan? Blah, blah, blah. Here's like all this information. And I was like, oh, this ain't real. And I clicked out of it and just kept scrolling and clearing out the rest of my email. But then my mom at the time would all double check all my stuff and make sure I'm actually taking care of it.
Good parent.
Good parent. Making sure I'm responsible. She was like, oh, this is Japan. Like, they're for real. And she was like, this is real. I was like, huh? Are you sure? She was like, yeah. I was like, I guess I'll go to Japan. And then we started doing the whole conversation. And I figured out that the first trip I went on was 10 days. And I think I did 3 matches and I got to like train. I went to Tokyo Disney. I had so much fun. I got yelled at by the police.
What did you do?
It was an accident. I don't know what I did.
Like, you got hands in the air like, hey.
I don't know what I did. But I was walking by like my hotel area and I was in Shibuya and I walked past, I think it was like a government building and they had security like guards near like the front entrance and I didn't walk near there. I went behind the building to cut through to go to like this restaurant area. You're not allowed to walk there.
Nope.
All of the security like comes running to me and I just put my hands up and I was like, I'm American. And they were like, oh no, Simasen, like, please move.
That's great. What Japanese influences would you say it has had the most impact on your style?
I don't know. That's very hard for me. I feel like I like to just pick and choose from everybody. I feel like everybody has their unique qualities, but there's everything that you can tweak and make it your own. But I feel like there's a lot of inspiration that I take from like Miami Toyota. Like, she is phenomenal. I feel like she's always been like, in my head, this woman was doing drop kicks off the apron. I can hit a swanton every week. I'll be fine.
Wow. What do you think is the biggest difference between wrestling in Japan and wrestling in America?
Definitely like the pacing of matches. It's very different to me just because of like how the crowd reacts. And I feel like you can build stories in a match without having to do certain things to please the crowd and keep them interested, if that makes sense. Because
totally.
Japanese wrestling is so respectful that like the whole time they're invested into your match.
Yeah, the crowds are just so different. Like, I know from, I've unfortunately never been to Japan yet, but like watching it on TV, the crowds are just so vastly different. So I can totally see how pacing would be greatly affected by that.
I just feel like wrestling is more idolized over there and more respected. While wrestling in the States is like, oh yes, it's entertainment, but oh yeah, that's fun. But it's not really my cup of tea.
So I want to kind of take this back around to the topic of youth, because again, we knew this was going to be a big
Will
part.
And I are the old people here.
I know, because we're freaking old curmudgeons in our 30s over here.
Back in my day.
So I wanted to ask you, every time I'm around you and another particular young person at work, it makes me feel both old, but like also like... I get this sense of joy seeing you guys experience this side of pro wrestling for the first time. And that is one Nick Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nick Wayne, of course, you guys were both seen as the young prodigies of this era of professional wrestling. You know, he's just right behind you in terms of age and you guys breaking in around the same time. You guys were tearing it up on the indies. You were these two young names that everybody wanted to see. And now it's being around you guys at work and it's just like he's just barely sprouting facial hair. And but it is fascinating to witness and fascinating to watch you guys. What's it been like kind of being just slightly ahead of him in the AEW experience and seeing his growth?
Honestly, Nick got a contract before I did.
That's true.
He did, yeah. But he didn't get to be here until...
He was backstage. He got to go and like shadow behind Darby.
That's different.
I don't know. I was around.
Like, he got to shadow Darby, but until he got to have that TV match with Swerve.
Who wrestled first on TV?
I think me, but that's because he's a
you
baby.
You think?
I think
it was you.
It was you.
It was definitely you.
He didn't wrestle till July of last year.
Oh, that is nuts. But he has been signed for a minute.
Yes, he has been.
But I feel like we're very much like equals. And Nick has always been one of the people that I always reach out to because we always face similar problems. I joke that he's my therapist, and whenever he needs me, I'll be his therapist, but he usually is the smarter one.
I don't know. He aligned himself with Christian Cage, so he's clearly...
He's a dumb boy. Yes. We just have to remember that. I'm very book smart. He's not book smart, but he'll figure it out.
I think we figured out the backstage dynamic between the two youngins now. I get it. I totally get it. Yeah, it was really great. Like, being someone on the inside and watching kind of what happens on the indies, and you like know the names that are being said, like had Sean Dean had said, like, oh yeah, no, I know who you are. Like, we kind of keep track, right? Mm-hmm. And I think all of us had kind of been looking at the calendar going, okay, are Billy Starks and Nick Wayne 18 yet? And
yeah, we just kind of like,
how long is it going to be? Like, is it like, no, not this
Everybody
week.
Everybody said they thought I was 18 for like 4 years. I was like, yeah, sorry guys.
Yeah, no, we pretty much did. Like, you're already like more responsible and more mature than most people that I knew at your age back when I was your age. So yeah, no, it's you're doing it right. I really appreciate it. It's really great. So you're in college, but like, what the hell are you studying?
I'm doing business and marketing. Right now I am just knocking out associate's degree. I think I'm like 56% done after this semester.
What the hell, woman? What? Do you sleep?
I sleep all the time. I slept 12 hours yesterday. It was amazing. I literally feel like I have so much free time. I joke about this. Like, I work out, I cook my own food, and then I play video games, I do school, and then I go wrestle. That's all I do with my life.
What are you playing currently?
Oh, I'm a big Call of Duty person, but I'm really hooked on Fortnite right now because of the new season. I really like the, what's it called? Like, mythology theme?
Mythology?
Yes, sorry, words.
You're good. Yeah, you know what? That actually sounds about right, in that Call of Duty and Fortnite specifically sound about where I would think anybody with the amount of kind of go, go, go and drive you have, it's like, okay, if I'm going to sit down, this is what I'm going
to
play.
Yeah, it's just so much fun and like engaging to me. I feel like I need stuff that stimulates me while I'm doing nothing, because I feel like I'm a very active person, and when I'm at home, I need to relax, but I still need that like stimulation.
I get it. I mean, you're not wrong. Like, you've got a great head on your shoulders, girl. Like, you've freaking world is your oyster. I'm like so freaking proud of you, dude. Like, and I'm so happy that like I get to know you, that I get to work with you, that I get to yell numbers at you during commercials.
Why?
This has been really awesome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. I had fun.
Yes, and best of luck tomorrow. Supercard of Honor in Philly against Queen Aminata. We will crown the first ever Ring of Honor World Television Champion. I'm just so stoked. I have no idea where it's going to go. I'm just like trying to read Will's face. Like, do you know? Do you know yet?
Well, you know,
can
Will.
I pay you $20?
They don't tell me nothing.
I mean, look, I'm not saying nothing. I will say that I am very much, because the one thing I don't know, again, this contract signing, I have no idea what's going to be happening here. So I am excited.
That's going to be plans, Will.
That is going to be happening tonight on Honor Club, watchroh.com, where you can catch Ring of Honor every Thursday. You can also catch AEW Dynamite every Wednesday on TBS, AEW Rampage every Friday on TNT, AEW Collision on TNT every Saturday. You can catch new episodes of this podcast every Thursday on all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also catch video episodes of this very show right here on our YouTube channel every Monday, where you can look at our beautiful mugs, especially these two beautiful ladies here. But
checks in the mail.
Until next time, I'm Will Washington. She is Aubrey Edwards. This is our guest, Billy Starks. We will see you next time. Have a great day. Peace.
Bye.
Come on, throw your hands up. Let me see you. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gonna turn it up. Space pump and make them bounce now.